Hallelujah. Jesus, it is about you. I don't know if you were worshiping as I was worshiping in this pandemic season. Today, we've been, the England has gone into another lockdown. For me, I'm excited because it's an opportunity to go back into the ark and to just to be with Jesus. Tonight, before we go on, I hope you have your communion, wine, juice, Ribena, whatever, and you've got your bread. For me, I've got crackers, biscuit. I'm excited. These are just symbolic. Get yourself ready, for we are going in straight into the word. Again, invite someone, tell them we are about to take off. We are about to experience the power of God. God ministered to me, just getting ready, that a woman with an issue of blood is going to be healed. That somebody who's been depressed down, going, that's gone down to MS, that as you eat the communion and as you encounter God today, your eyes will be open. Someone financially, the prophet said, go into your house, lock the door, and God encountered them. There's so many things that are going to happen, and I just want you to be excited. The word for this, the theme for this month is faith for the next season, for a new season, for the impossible. I want you to believe. Amen. Believe. Just trust. Look unto Jesus tonight. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our brother who God has prepared tonight to use. Make him welcome. It's our brother, brother Damola Adelusi. You're welcome. Get on from here.
Good evening, church. And thank you so much, Uncle Ezekpe, for that introduction. Good evening, church, and I hope everyone is great. It's been a lovely week. We thank God for yet the dawn of the end of yet another day, and for how he has been with us since the beginning of the week. We're just going to delve straight into the word. I hope you're excited and you're ready, and we're going to build on the foundation of what we started, what Uncle Ezekpe started on Sunday. We're going to be looking at faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. I just want us to say a quick prayer before we start. Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you speak your word into the hearts of your people. Let your word transform us, even as we hear your word today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, the first question I was going to be asking, I'm just laying a foundation of, building on what Uncle Ezekpe laid the foundation on last Sunday, is, so why faith? Why is there a lot of talk about faith? Why do we have to learn about faith as Christians? From some of the things I've done, that I've read in the Bible, and for most of us, we understand that faith is the hallmark of the Christian race. Faith is at the center. Faith in Christ is at the center of everything. It's, if you look at Romans 10:10, I mean, you cannot come without believing in Christ. And the Bible makes us to understand in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So at the center of everything is faith. And we talk a lot about it. We talk about the Christian faith. Well, I mean, there's a lot of talk about faith. So what is faith? What is faith? We understand from Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11 is the theme for the month. That's what we're going to be focusing on. And Hebrews 11:1 says, I'm just going to read it from my Bible quickly. Sorry about that. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. That's verse 1 and verse 2. So in my own definition, I came up with Hebrews 1 is like the big definition that we go to in the Bible. But looking at the whole of the Bible, I realized that faith is demonstrated through complete trust and obedience to God. Abraham, who is the father of faith, is a very good example for us. In Genesis 12:1, the Bible mentioned there that God spoke to Abraham. He said, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house And that was the first thing that came up. It was an instruction which Abraham obeyed. And then after obeying that instruction, because God told him to go forth, and then God now told him that he will made him, that he will make him a great nation. Now, the question is, there was an instruction first before the promise. And for Abraham, he obeyed completely. He submitted completely, trusting God and looking up unto God for direction for all the things he ended up doing. In the Christian walk, faith in itself is accepting Christ, like the song told us, as the Lord and Savior. We understand from that song that Christ is at the center of everything that we do. If we truly have faith, we make Christ to be at the center of everything that we do. And we know that faith is what enables us to receive from God. Without faith, we cannot receive. It's even impossible to please God. And it's faith that enables us to be able to obey the instructions of God. So that's just a quick summary. I'm just going to be going through it a little bit quickly today so that we can just get towards the points where we want to really dwell on today. And I asked myself, I said, so how does faith come as a Christian? What are the steps that I need to take to be able to truly understand faith or to be able to have faith? And the first thing that comes to mind is Romans 10 to 11. The Bible says that for with the heart, a man believes, and that resulting into righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting into salvation. Salvation is the first step unto faith in Christ. The first step of knowing about God, or having faith in God, is that salvation. Christ paid a big price, a great price, which we cannot measure, which we cannot repay back by dying for our sins. And faith indeed is you believing in the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible makes us to understand in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So it is the word of Christ that indeed brings about that faith in our heart. It's the word of grace which brings salvation and breaks the bondage of law and sin that actually spurs on the faith in our hearts. So we've learned about what faith itself is, and now we're looking at how does it come. Faith comes through obedience to the word of Christ and by hearing it and walking in it. Amen. If you look into Luke 17, 1 to 6, something quite interesting happened there. And Christ was talking to his disciples, and he mentioned to them, he said that they need to be able to forgive. That when someone sins against you and he comes around and he does it multiple times in a day, you need to be able to forgive them constantly. I mean, as often as they come around and they ask for forgiveness. And the disciples, they were a little bit amazed. And they said, God, this is a difficult thing. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I would say that this is almost like the impossible, because this month we are looking at faith for the impossible. But Christ was saying here that, I mean, the difficult things that we think that we cannot do, that faith in our hearts, complete obedience, complete trust in Christ in our lives can make us to be able to do that impossible thing. I went back to check, what are mulberry trees? Like, what are they? They are fast-growing trees, and they grow really big, and they have very aggressive roots, but relatively shallow. And they can grow up to 24 meters high. And Christ was saying here that if you have faith like a mustard seed, little faith, that you can do even great things. And what we are talking about, what brought about this verse, because we read a lot about this verse and we use it for things like when we are expecting something from God, or maybe when we want to break the hold of something in our lives or maybe in the system, and we say, okay, if you can just have faith like a mustard seed. But here, Christ was talking about something which was different. He was talking about a culture, because what brought about this word from Christ was the fact that the disciples, they marveled at the request of Christ for you to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. They said it was a difficult thing to do, and they asked for God to increase their faith. So from there, we understand that faith in itself helps to be able to do, expose us unto good works. Because what Christ was trying to teach the disciples there was something about how they should live their life. He was talking about the works that they do. And here Christ was explaining that you need faith to be able to spoil you, to be able to do the impossible. And sometimes some of the good works that we need to do, the works of faith that we're meant to do, they may look impossible, but with faith in Christ, we can truly do the impossible. James was explaining throughout the book of James. And if you focus on James chapter 2 from verse 14 to verse 26, he talked a lot about faith resulting in good works. And he talks about the fact that you can only know if someone truly have faith if you look at their works. And when you talk about works, we talk about how the person lives his life, what the fruits of the person's life is like. So it said, show me your works and I will show show me your faith and I will show you my works. It was trying to explain to us there that really it is all about what you are. That if you truly have faith, that faith is meant to be transforming. And that the outcome of what we see in your life and that the outcome of what we see in my life or the fruit of my life should justify that faith that I truly profess. And this is where we have a disconnect as Christians. Because we believe in God, we believe in Christ, we profess it. But that belief has not really gotten deep into our hearts that it brings about the transformation from dead works onto good works. Is that the reflection of one's faith is demonstrated in what we do and how we behave and how we react to the world, and most importantly, to how we react to the word of God. If your reaction to the word of God is to create an excuse for it, then truly that faith has not really generated good works in you. We are still having dead works in our life. And in the passage we read previously, the disciples realized that they needed to grow in faith. And that's what I'm trying to just bring to us as Christians. For us to be able to continually do what Christ has already asked us, the life that Christ has already given unto us from the salvation that we got by grace from him, that we need that faith in the word of God. Something as little as the mustard seed is what we need to be able to transform our life. And another question I ask myself is, why is it that as Christians, we are not able to enter into that place of good works? Why are we not able to be able to step into that which Christ is doing in our lives? And that takes us back to Genesis. One of the big things that I realized that tends to want to contradict the word of God, that tends to nullify the things, the works of faith in our life, is the knowledge of good and evil. Right from the Garden of Eden, we understand that when man fell, one of the key things that came about was we ate from that tree of good and evil. And we know truly well, because if we look at the word of God in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 5, he said that we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that are raised up against the knowledge of God, and that are taken, and we are taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. As a child of God, as a Christian, it is very important that we continually, daily, destroy every speculation, because what has filled the hearts of many, what has filled the whole of the world, is the knowledge of good and evil. it's if you look at what happened in the lives of Adam and Eve after they ate of that tree that Christ that God said that they should not eat of, the first thing that happened was fear. Because we understand that the opposite of faith is fear. Because they hid themselves when Christ came. Normally, in the cool of the day, when Christ comes to fellowship with them, they don't hide from Christ. But what happened was that faith in God, that complete trust in God, made them to be able to hide. Because what happened, they got a new knowledge, a new information from the enemy, saying that they were naked. And they felt ashamed. Dead works and the knowledge of good and evil brings about shame, brings about self-consciousness, where you think probably you're more than what you are, or probably you're less than what you are in Christ. And those are some of the things that we need to look out for as Christians. Do we justify our behaviors by what is going around? Or do we justify what we do by the word of God? Oh, the Bible says that we should,
as children, honor our fathers and our mothers. Do I say, oh, yes, the Bible said it.
But because now I have knowledge, I think the Bible was only talking about probably Christian parents, or maybe it says the typical one that we always talk about is that we should forgive multiple times. And we say, oh, this one is a very terrible person. And we allow that knowledge of good and evil to be able to keep us in a place of dead works. As Christians, it's quite key that we look at this area of our lives to ensure that we are not living, or we are not just gathering about dead works. And how do we mean by dead works? If you remember what Christ said in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. And if you continue to verse 23, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. But I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I want you to just focus on this particular bit, because today we're going to be, this is like the focal point for what we're going to be talking about. He said, he that does the will of the Father is he who would enter into heaven. He that does the will of the Father. It talks about the works that you do. Now, we are not saved by our works, and we cannot even through our works pay the price of salvation. No. But what Christ was trying to say here is that when you have now received Christ, that salvation, that faith in Christ should spur you to be able to do the will of the Father. That faith in Christ should spur you to be able to obey the will of the Father. So that means, if I am still struggling, and if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17 to 32, and we look at Ephesians 5, 6, Paul was talking about so many things that as Christians, should not be found with us. He talked about the order for the family, how wives should submit to their husbands and husbands should love their wives, where you don't make excuses for things. He talked about how children should behave with their parents. He talked about the fact that we cannot continue in unforgiveness and bitterness and say that we truly believe in Christ. But I will just go back to that Matthew 7, 21 to 23, which is like a focal point. What you would see here is in that verse 23, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. That means they did some form of work. And in your name, we cast out demons. That means they did some form of work. And here, what Christ was saying was that work did not really count. The work that really counts is that work that does the will of the Father. Is that work that repents from the dead works of the flesh. that steps out of the knowledge of good and evil and steps into that obedience and submission to the will of the Father. He called those who stayed in that place of disobedience, he called them lawless and godless. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If we go on back into James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26, I want us to read some of the verses in James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. I'll just quickly go through it just to be able to show you what we're talking about. It said, for what use is it, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it is without works, is dead by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and the result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I'm just going to charge us, my brothers and my sisters today, that we cannot profess that we have faith in Christ if we continue in dead works, if it is not reflected by the works of life, the works of faith in us. We cannot say that we are in faith and that we are saved if we continue to disobey the word of God and to make excuses for what we are doing and how we are doing it. I mean, if you listen to the message on Sunday, it was quite timely. It talked about the fact that a lot of times as Christians, we don't hold the word of God as the authority of our lives. We would rather allow the world and the knowledge of good and evil to direct our life, to give us interpretation for our lives, in how we run our marriages, in how we run our, in how we train up our children, in how we deal with money, in how we relate with our co-workers. Are we following the works of Christ? And are we submitting to the word of Christ? If you look at the law, I mean, Christ was talking about divorce. And he mentioned there, he talked about the fact that the law of Moses allowed you to divorce. But it was not so from the beginning. That in Christ, you do not have a legal right to be able to divorce. And you look at love. He talked about the fact that he said that you should pray for your friends or for people who love you. But here, Christ was saying that in the works of faith, you pray for those who hate you. You love those who hate you. You do not allow the root of bitterness to come up in your life. And we need to sit and measure. I mean, it was last week, I was asking Pastor this question. I said,
how do you review
or carry out like a review of yourself after a while? How do you know that you are indeed in faith? Because we daily need to check whether we are still in faith. And he mentioned one thing which was quite key and which was quite instructive to me. He said, once you realize that you are not walking in love again, it's a sign that you're already stepping out of faith. The truth is, faith can wear down. if we don't focus, I mean, we go for the hustling and the bustling of life. We wake up very early. We run to the places of work. We hear the news. You know, faith comes by hearing. And what would wear down the faith also would come by hearing. So whatever you see in the news, if they say, oh, there's trouble in town, oh, we should not go out, the lockdown has come up again, this winter is going to be very terrible. If you let that sink into your heart, that in itself may wear down your faith. And what will start to happen is you start to act and react in ways that does not really reflect the salvation that Christ paid a big price for. And when the faith is down, we start to realize that you start to go into a place of bitterness. You start to reflect on what somebody said and how they said it. The things of the world will start to interest you. Suddenly, you just realize that the covetousness of the things of the world may start to show up. We start to realize that we are not loving people as much as we should love them. My brothers and my sisters, this is quite true. We need to daily renew our minds. We need to daily check ourselves to see whether we are still in faith. Because faith in itself is not something that we use to receive, like we learned last Sunday. Faith, we should have faith to be able to give. Faith to be able to obey the instructions of Christ. Faith to be able to stay in that place where God has kept us. Because faith in itself brings about patience and perseverance in us. Faith in Christ brings about long suffering. It brings about the fruits of the Spirit. And if we are not seeing all these good works, all these fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we need to check. Are we still in the faith? Are we still in the faith? Because we understand that things that we can see physically are framed by things that we cannot see. So if you start to react and you start to probably disobey the things of God, or you just realize that maybe you got to work and people just got you angry and you flipped, or maybe you flipped on your children, or maybe you got angry with your wife, or you got angry with your husband, or maybe you are just angry with the government. You need to check. Is there still faith in my heart? Is my love tank still full? Am I still with Christ? Am I not just going through the motions like what Christ said? Many would say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name we cast out demons. And Christ was saying there that what you were doing was just external. It was just going through the motions. Because the true faith is a transformational faith, the one that transforms you to be able to do the will of God. I just want us this evening to just reflect on our lives and ask that single question. Are we still in faith? This evening is a communion service. And we're going to be breaking bread and remembering Christ. And we're going to be going back to just reflect on the words of Christ again. And to be able to see in our hearts whether truly we've left the faith or we are still in the faith. We know that we've been through the lockdown. And it's sometimes for some of us, maybe our faith is probably as a result of the environment. We need to check that, because sometimes it may be because you're seeing the brethren every day, you're able to walk into church or the music plays and then we read the word of God. But now because you're not able to see the brethren that you can break bread with physically and just talk and discuss the word of God. Now, I think it's the best time for you to shut the door, because God indeed has actually shut the door, and delve back into the words of Christ. And delve back into the word and just sit on the word, study, and let the light of God bring about birth that faith in your heart again, like never before. Not where you depend on other people's faith, not when you depend on the environment, the people around you to be able to spoil your faith, but for you to go and really know Christ, for you to truly submit. Because if you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the promises of Christ, if you don't even know what the instructions are, how would you be able to obey? How would you be able to submit to that will of God? It's just a time for us to delve back into the word of God and for us to check back again. Are we still in faith? I'll just quickly say a word of prayer before we go into that place of communion. And I just want everyone to just go back and just reflect.
Father, Lord, we thank
you for the simplicity of your word. Because indeed, we know that without faith, it is impossible to please you. We ask, O Lord, for forgiveness from dead works. We ask, O Lord, that you will spoil in our hearts that faith that can do the impossible. That faith that can do what even the world seems as impossible. You said in your word that if we have faith as big as a mustard seed, that we can say to the mulberry tree that it be uprooted and be cast into the midst of the sea, and it will obey. Father, Lord, that kind of faith we crave for. A faith that spurs us onto repentance from dead works and spurs us onto the life, the true life in God. Father, Lord, we pray for everyone that is listening today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we go on into the place of communion, we ask, Lord, that you indeed speak to us as individuals. As we go back into your word, Lord, that your word, Lord, would come and birth light in our hearts in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to hand you back over to Pastor, who is going to
share the communion with every one of us, and is going to
lead us in sharing the communion. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for that word of life, Damola. Are we still in faith? Or should I just say, are you still in faith? One thing is clear, faith comes when we hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And tonight, what we're about to do, it takes a lot of faith to do. How do we check? One of the ways, if we're in the faith, is to believe in the power of the communion. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 53, and I read, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.'" Verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." I want you to get this ready tonight. Get the bread, get the wine. Now, the bread is the flesh of Jesus, talks about his body. The wine represents his blood. The body was broken, bruised, because we sinned and he took up our sins. It takes faith to believe that. His blood was shed, so that when his blood was shed, our sins will also be forgiven. And also by his stripes, the broken body, the shedding of the blood, we were healed. It's a communion and healing service tonight, and I want us to get this ready. If you have cracker biscuit, you can use cracker biscuit. Just get something by faith that represents the flesh and the blood. of Jesus. And as you get that ready, I want to read to us tonight what we're doing right now in the name of Jesus by faith, this prayer of faith, this demonstration of faith, this act of faith will heal you, will forgive you all your iniquities, will take off your fears, your cares, the burdens, the weights you have been carrying, because we're doing this by faith. Right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. I want you to take that bread right now. And the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, right now in the name of Jesus, as you take this bread that represents the body of Jesus, and as we break it in thanksgiving for everything he has done, I declare to you, just as Jesus said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember, by his broken body, our iniquities he took upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So right now, I say, take this bread and eat it in thanksgiving that your sins, your iniquities have been taken over by the Lord Jesus. Your burdens, your weights, every yoke upon your life, whatever you have done up to this point that you think you will not be forgiven, hear the word of faith tonight. You are forgiven. Jesus already paid the price. And Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name, please eat it now. Thank you as we remember everything you have done. And in the same manner, please get the cup, fruit juice, whatever you have is just symbolic of the blood of Jesus. It takes faith. Remember, Jesus said, when you do this, you dwell in me, I in you. Anyone who does this shows you are a part of me. He says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the same manner right now, thank God all your sins are forgiven. Thank God all your diseases are healed. The Bible says a prayer of faith will save the sick. And by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Through the shedding of the blood, sins forgiven. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. He does two things. He forgives all iniquities, heals all diseases. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as you drink the blood of Jesus tonight, the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel, you are forgiven, you are healed, you are restored, you are set free, and every disease gone. In the name of Jesus, give thanks right now, and let's drink together.